Good morning, everybody. We know that here we're led by the Spirit, and it'll become obvious why I'm teaching first, and then we're going to praise afterward as I get into this. As was just said, I had this vision in 2013, and it's been on my heart for 7 years, but I knew it was not time to release it. But it did work in me, and I know now is the time to release it because of several things that have happened recently. But I was laying in bed, it was in June, and I woke up, and when I opened my eyes, I saw before me these words. It said, Whistle High School, Whistle High School. And it was a list of three schools, and that was on the top. And after several seconds, it faded away. So I wondered, I thought that was really odd, and I didn't know what it meant, so I got up. You know, I asked God what it meant, but I got up, I started making my bed. As I was making my bed, I heard the phrase, whistle stop, whistle stop, whistle stop, over and over again in my spirit. I heard that. And that was it. That's all God gave me. So as I'm sharing today, and you know, like many times when I teach from dreams and messages that God gives me in that way. But God speaks to every one of us, and he speaks to all of us through whatever we're interested in. So as I'm giving you this word, hopefully it helps us all to realize that when God speaks symbolically, we have to go after it, and then we get his message. So because the word whistle is not in the Bible, I had to go to the dictionary. So the word whistle means a sound produced by forcible passage of breath or air or steam. So because I was thinking prophetically, I immediately started to think about words and voice and the passage of breath. It's a shrill, clear sound produced by forcing air through puckered lips. Now that stood out to me, the puckered lips, because I was thinking prophetically, I was thinking about giving prophetic words to anybody, whether it's your neighbor, your child, or corporately. But the puckered lips spoke to me as like a kiss, that the prophetic words have to be filled with love, like we're kissing the person we're giving that word to. So all of these words and definitions that were in this definition of whistle were all speaking to me about how to give a word. Now, in a prophetic message, we want to speak with love, but there's also another word in that definition that says forcing air, forcible passage of air or breath. Because sometimes we have to force ourselves to step forth into a conversation. And it's not easy. And this has all been on my heart for quite a while, especially this last month. I had this vision in 2013, but God brought it back to me. This whole month I've been thinking about it, pondering about it, meditating on it. And part of that meditation was Matthew 11:12, which we spoke about maybe 5 weeks ago, that the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. That's the kind of force that we have to have when we feel that God wants us to speak something. We've got to force ourselves. We have to force ourselves into that by a decision of our will to say the right word at the right time. And of course, it's not a kind of force that's, you know, forceful, like beating somebody up. It has to come with love, and it can be in gentle, as quiet as anything. But when you speak those words, they pierce the atmosphere. And that's part of the meaning of the word shrill. We're not supposed to be shrill and, you know, that people don't want to hear us. But the shrillness of what we say pierces the atmosphere, and it can be as soft and quiet as a whisper. And we know that coaches and referees use whistles, and they're in a very noisy environment. The game is going on, things are happening, the crowd is screaming, but yet that whistle pierces the atmosphere. So in the same way, anything that God gives us to say will pierce the atmosphere, and especially if it's said with love. So as we are learning to hear more precisely from God, we want to be sure to pay attention to whatever symbols he's showing us, because he will speak to us in whatever area we are knowledgeable in. You know how often Joe comes up here and gives words about mechanics, and it just illustrates it perfectly, because many times a picture will stay with us and help us to remember what it means, and it stays with us better than just the words. A whistle is also a signal to pay attention for a message or a direction. Like if a coach has a whistle and he wants the kids to pay attention, he's going to give direction. It is also used for calling. I know that my dad, when I was a kid growing up, me and my brothers, we lived in the country in Newtown, where there was just hills and hills of woods and, you know, meadows and ponds, and especially in the winter when we'd be, you know, quite a ways away at Grandma's pond ice skating, my dad would stand on the front porch and he'd whistle, you know, that shrill whistle, and it had a certain sound to it. When we heard that, we knew Dad was calling us home, and he would do it 2 to 3 times sometimes. So when we hear God's whistle calling, we need to respond. We need to take heed to the voice or the signal, whatever is being said. Sometimes we're the whistle for somebody else. Sometimes God's the whistle for us. So then I started to look up the phrase whistle stop. I want you to think about a train, because whistle stop is a phrase that's used concerning trains. And I want you to see, this is how I was seeing it as I looked it up, that the train represents the move of God. And it's got lots of boxcars. Joe was talking to me before service about how we are used in so many different areas. And there's so many different denominations and churches, but yet we're all linked together in the grand move of God. Okay? So a whistle stop happens when the train makes a stop at various stations for different reasons. One of those ways it stops is also called a flag stop. And it goes when the train goes through small villages, there isn't always a passenger to be picked up. It's not always somebody there. In fact, it's more seldom that there's somebody there. So the train normally wouldn't stop. Unless they see a flag out or unless the whistle's blowing, they're not going to stop. So that's why that's called a flag stop or a whistle stop. But the purpose is so that passengers can board. Now, what does that mean spiritually? Sometimes people aren't in the move of God for whatever reason, whether they're unsaved or whether they're just in the church and not understanding what's going on. It includes times for questions, and the person is saying, I want to understand, explain, so I can come aboard. Whether they're coming into the work of the cross for themselves because they're struggling with something at that time, or whether they're coming into any move of God. All right? So a flag stop is when it can happen during a service too, when God knows he's given a lot of direction and he wants to move through something in a service, but yet it needs a clarifying word to come forth to bring understanding at that moment so everybody can get on board and the train can move on. So the train stops with a message also. You've heard of the term, maybe not, it's from the olden days, a whistle stop tour, a campaign tour. What they used to do in the old days before they had so much about, television and radio and the technology we have nowadays, they many times did their political campaigning on a train. And the train would come through and it would be a whistle stop. And you may have heard that possibly on TV, but it's used symbolically now when a candidate goes to a place to speak. And the purpose of that candidate going to a place to speak is to bring a convincing message, because that candidate wants everybody to support him or her. So that word campaign is a military term. I never really knew that. But it's a connected series of military operations forming a distinct phase of war. And it's designed to bring about a specific result. Now, that's real clear how we have to listen to God's campaign. But we know that, you know, when a political campaigner is out on the his whistle stop tour, he's wanting to convince everyone that his strategies are the best, or her strategies are the best. Okay, that's their military operations, their strategies, and how they can combat what's going on. And they want a specific result. But it's the same with God for us, that he speaks to us. He has his campaign, right? And he wants us to understand. He wants us to enter in. He wants us to come aboard. So it's very important to hear God's voice. This is something that sometimes we listen to all the big name people online, or we have great honor for our own pastor. And sometimes we think that they are the only ones who can say anything that's of God. But our children can say something of God. Old people can say something of God. And we were talking about that in the prayer room this morning, how Wayne, who is autistic, has said prophetic things in the prayer room, and we've known it. In fact, Judy reminded me today of something he did in 2013, which is when I had this vision, 2013. So isn't that amazing? So we cannot count anybody out, and we cannot count ourselves out. Renee had a very long prayer about that this morning, which was awesome. I'm going to give you some examples. I've already kind of given you some examples, but of a whistle stop and how it works so that we can understand. I already mentioned about a service filled with words, and sometimes we have to have a clarifying word at the end that draws everything together, but it's a concentrated breath. Like the definition of whistle, concentrated breath through a small opening. So it's a concentration or a concise impartation of what God has done or says, so we can all be on board. The fact that I saw Whistle High School told me that it's a learning experience, what we do. And we are always in the school of learning, the school of the Holy Spirit, learning how to hear God first, learning how to recognize him, going after what he's telling us, learning the timing of the Lord, when to release it, and being filled with love. We have to learn the ways of God because his ways are love. And it's not spirit if it's not love. Because the word says, if we walk in spirit, we fulfill the law. If we walk in love, we fulfill the law. Therefore, love is spirit. God is spirit. God is love. So we're constantly learning how, when, and, you know, with what heart to give a word. But Hebrews 5:14 says that as we mature, the mature ones who are, by reason of use, we have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the more we step out and exercise our senses, the more we use that gift, the more we will be able to discern the differences. What's good, what's evil, what's now, what's wait, what's me, what's God, all of those things. But love is the impetus. Love is the driving force. Love is what makes the word receivable. Now, many times we're going to have words for people in everyday life, and part of the definition of whistle is that they be clear and easy to understand, free from impurities, free from mist, free from haze. These were all things from the dictionary, like, you know, weather related. But we know that the more clear and holy we are, the more clear our words will be as we give them. They will be untroubled and serene and free from obstruction. This was one of the definitions of clear, free from obstruction. Making the way clear. So many times your words are going to bring a clearness for the person who's receiving the word. You're going to be removing obstructions for them, setting them free. To clear something also means to authorize it, like a plane is cleared for takeoff. So many times your words will be something that helps a person launch into something. So don't hold back your words. Clearness comes from meditation and revelation. It's that personal whistle that we hear from God. When God is trying to communicate to us and he's given us a message, he wants us to spend time with it so that we can then be that voice for God. So a whistle calls or calls attention. Breath is forced through a small opening. So don't delay. If you have an opportunity to say something, Sometimes your opening is very small. And if you don't say it, the moment passes and you don't get to say it. Whether it's in a service, whether it's at the lunch table at work, whether it's with anybody you're talking to, take the opportune time, the perfect time that God set up, and then it will have results. Now, when I was researching these words, I visualized a great train. And it was a huge train, but an old-fashioned train, you know? And it wasn't turned off. It was still there. It was, you know how trains do that? And they're just waiting. And they're but they're ready to power up at any moment when the people are ready. And then they go. So I believe that that was telling me that God is waiting for us. But now, after all these years that I've been meditating on this vision, I really believe that the time is so very close for God to start moving the church forward. And when I say that, I don't mean God's not moving now, because he is. He moves in each one of us individually. He moves in every church service we have, and he moves across the globe. But he has so many things that he's doing, but there's a grand movement of the end time church arising that I believe has already begun very slowly, but it's going to escalate very, very soon. And part of that, I believe, is that he's going to be uncovering a lot of deception and corruption in the world, and a lot of people are going to start to have revelation, they're going to start to see, and they're going to run to the church or want to run to the church. So we have to be ready. We have to be ready with our voices. We have to be ready to believe for ourselves. We have to be ready to stand, to praise, and to be God's voice. I'm going to go into something in a minute explaining about the voice, but we're going to be using our voice and force it through the openings that God gives us in love. Pastor spoke to us a week or two ago about, you know, all the revivals that have come to this earth and how the people got ready for those revivals. And he said they repented from all known sin, that they broke the habits off their lives that they knew were not right. Obey the Holy Spirit immediately. That's that small opening. Do whatever it is, even if it's just clean the garage. Obey the Holy Spirit, whatever he tells you to do. And then number four, go public with Christ. So, and not to be afraid. So these are things that we're working on, and I believe that this word addresses many of those things. But there are times and seasons that we need to be aware of. And for the past few months, I've felt this deeper need to start declaring and decreeing out loud. I mean, we all go through stages where we do it for a season and then we stop. And I had not been doing it for a while. And so I just felt strongly that God was saying, start doing it again. Start decreeing. Start declaring out loud. You know, the things that we've waited for and fought for so long, God has been so good to encourage us that he's working on it. And it's going to happen, and asking us to believe and praise and thank him. But this past month, God had me thinking about this vision and also about all this desire to proclaim. Then Donna sent me something from Jane Hammond. She's a prophetess. And in this word that she was giving, she was explaining the meaning of the Hebrew numbers, which I love. That's why she said to me, she knows I like stuff like that, and how they speak concerning God's years and God's seasons and God's times. And I find this to be pretty interesting, because by the Hebrew calendar, we have just come out of the decade of the 70s, from 5770 through 5779. So the last decade in the Hebrew calendar, which changed over September 29th, is the number 70. 70 is prominent. It was the decade of the 70s. Now, 70 actually means ayin, A-Y-I-N. It's a Hebrew word, and it means the eye. So it has to do with seeing and revelation, which Pastor has just drilled into us for many years. And so clearly he was hearing the Spirit, that we have to see. We have to see what God's doing. And that's what God accomplished in the last decade. It also has to do with our eye gate, though. And I had a lot to say about that, but I cut it out because I knew it wasn't for today. But God's not done with that yet. Make sure your eye gate is clean. So revelation is seeing what God sees. And that is something that we must always go after. Now, the new year, the new Hebrew year for right now is 5780. We have entered into the decade of the 80s in the Hebrew calendar. Now, 80 means the mouth. It is the word peh, P-E-H. And it signifies the voice and the power of speech. So you can see how this goes right along with what God was showing me. And Peh is also the 17th letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and 17 means victory. So this year, this decade, signifies victory through the mouth, through what we say. We have to remember the power of the words. Life or death is in the power of the tongue. We have to be careful what we say. We have to choose blessing and not cursing. But we have to declare into our lives and decree into our lives and into the country and into the world, because now is the time. Now, for us, we pray for ourselves, we pray for our families, but what we're praying is breakthrough. Now, this is the year in our calendar, the year 2020. And so we all remember that very popular scripture. We've all prayed it so many times. It's been powerful in my life. I love it. It's 2 Chronicles 20:20. And it begins by saying, "Hear me." Now, the speaker is Jehoshaphat, but he was using his voice. But we still have to hear it. He says, "Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." That word prosper means to break through, to come forth mightily. So that's why all of this is significant, and this is the season to break through and come forth mightily. It is the season to believe God, that there be no unbelief in our hearts at all. There was a man who used to come to this church named Mike Rizal, and he spoke this. He had such an amazing prophecy for us once. It was long, but it was mostly God will deal with our unbelief. God cannot move the church forward unless we are believing, absolutely, fully convinced. Now, God's voice shatters the enemy. So I'm going to just go over Jehoshaphat's story just quickly. 2 Chronicles 19, so that's just before 2 Chronicles 20:20. Jehoshaphat was asked, "Should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord?" This is a question that's before all of us, right? This is not easy times. To help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord. All of our words, the impetus has to be love. And so we have to love them. But God said to him anyway, he said, "Nevertheless, there are good things in you." And a whole bunch of things were listed. And the last one was that he seeks God. Because God sees everything that we struggle with. He knows what's hard. He knows how hard it is to love people who hate you, who attack you. But we still need to love them like God does. So then Jehoshaphat got this word that a great multitude is coming against you. And so that gave him fear. So he began to seek the Lord again, and he proclaimed a fast. And then Jehoshaphat asked God, "Aren't you the ruler? Aren't you powerful? When evil comes, we stand in your presence and we cry to you, and then you will hear and help. Behold, they come against us to take away what you gave us to inherit. We have no might against them, but our eyes are upon you." And we've talked recently about how the kingdom of God suffers violence, the violent take it by force, but also we entered the kingdom through tribulation. So there's all this tribulation coming against us where they are trying to take away what God gave us to inherit, the basics of the cross, right? That's ours. And God, we are about to break through to get all of it and to bring it to the world. Now, in this thing with Jehoshaphat, it was mentioned that every man, every woman, and every child stood before the Lord. And this was even before I knew I was supposed to teach this. As I was praying, I started to really see kids coming forth in this body, specifically a couple whose names I won't mention, who have gifts that I know about. And I saw them singing, I saw them teaching, and I saw them giving words. So it doesn't matter what age kids are, even babies, a baby could come up here and say something profound. So we have to realize that it's all of us, every single one of us. And even the elderly, I mean, many times we feel like, okay, I did everything wrong in my life, what can I say? But you've gained wisdom. When you do things wrong and you learn from God, that's wisdom, and you can come up and say it. And so, you know, we have a great example, Marie, and I'm not saying she did things wrong, but she's such an example of a matriarch in this body. She's such a good mother to an autistic adult man, and yet she's filled with wisdom, and she doesn't say a whole lot, but what she says is profound, and it makes a big difference. So we know at that time, because this is a famous battle, most everybody knows about it, that the Spirit spoke and said, "Don't be afraid, the battle is not yours, but God's." But it's very important to realize, many times we say, okay, we just sit back and do nothing because it's God's battle. But significant to that story is that they were given strategy from the Lord, and they went out with that strategy. And part of the strategy was that they worshiped and praised God with a loud voice. So again, it's the voice. But they also went out and they were going towards what God told them to do. And during that time is when Jehoshaphat spoke to, you know, to believe God and you'll be established, believe his prophets and you will break through. But they were already going forth in what God showed them to do. But he appointed singers and praisers to the beauty of his holiness. The beauty of his holiness. We have to see the beauty of his holiness, right? And then we will praise him from a heart that loves so deeply. And one of the things that they sang was, "The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever." Because like I said before, God sees the things that we don't always do right, but yet his mercy is still there. And they were filled with the understanding that God was still merciful for them and to them. They didn't have to be perfect to get his mercy, okay? And that's how good he is. And that's what they sang, and that's what their hearts were filled with. And when they praised God with that heart, he set ambushes against the enemy, and he destroyed the enemy. And there were spoils abundant, and the fear of the Lord came to the land. It's time for the church to bring the fear of the Lord to the land through our obedience and our praise. Now, there are some prophetic words today. This one apparently went viral because somebody sent it to me. And it was from Sean Boltz, but he spoke of Bob Jones, who's already passed away a couple years. But according to Sean, Bob Jones had spoken this to him at least 10 times, but he spoke of a time in 1983 when there was a gathering in Kansas City and they were fasting for revival. And at the end of the meeting, Bob Jones says, you know, revival is coming, it's not going to be today, but when the Kansas City Chiefs go to the Super Bowl and win, that this would be a sign of end time revival, that God is raising up his apostolic chiefs, his leaders in many spheres. But I also found that there was some controversy online about that because somebody said, okay, well, Bob Jones also prophesied the Carolina Panthers winning the Super Bowl, saying similarly that he would be a sign for the third, that win would be a sign for the third great awakening in 2016. Now, this person that was being the critic said, well, that didn't happen because the third great awakening didn't happen. But when I prayed about it, I said, you know what? A lot happened in 2016. There was such turmoil in the nation over the elections that the body of Christ did begin to wake up. But this man, since he wasn't in the spiritual flow, didn't see it, didn't sense it, didn't know it. But there is a great awakening that is happening. And if we are not in the move of the Spirit, in other words, if we're not on board, on God's train, we're going to miss things. And also the word or the concept of Jubilee was also part of this prophecy, because it had been 50 years since the Chiefs had been to the Super Bowl. 50 is the number for Jubilee, which means victory for us, because it means everything lost must be returned to the owner. Okay, that's Jubilee. So that's why we open our mouths and declare, because now is the time. It's going to happen. So this current word for 2020, Super Bowl, is about raising the body. So it was different. The first one was about the Great Awakening in 2016, and the second one, a word from Bob, was about putting people in places, putting them in their spheres, raising them up in their places within the sphere. So, but we have to respond to God. If we're not in our places right now, then we need to move into them. And he's so gracious, and he will teach us. But concerning the word breakthrough, I thought this was also very interesting. We watched much of the Super Bowl. We watched the commercials. And if you remember, there was a commercial there about Groundhog Day, because it was Groundhog Day. See, God speaks through all these things. And you remember the movie, if you haven't seen it, Bill Murray played the character Phil, right? And Phil was kind of an example of not a good person, right? And he was stuck in the same thing over and over and over again. And he was so frustrated, he just kept trying to die. He just kept trying to kill himself, right? But, you know, at the end of the movie, he finally did break through. So as we continue to keep on keeping on, you know, keep on dying to self, you will eventually break through. And just like Phil at the end of the movie, he was a different person, right? And everybody could see that. And so that's what God's doing to the body of Christ. He's going to raise us up as a new creation to represent Jesus upon the earth. Now, I just feel like God is about to do this. He's about to move us forward. Remember when Bill Yunt was here a couple years ago, he used the term launch. Remember that? So it's a taking off. And for me, because of this vision God gave me, the train is ready to leave the station. That's what he was telling me. We're ready to break through. We're ready to come forth mightily. And the time is now. So we need to make sure we're on board with God's campaign. We're going to break through with our voices. Victory is through the voice. God is raising his apostolic chiefs. He's putting them into positions. He's putting leaders into position. All of us, we go to his apostolic church. We're apostolic. All right. Now what we're going to do is we're going to enter into a time of worship pretty soon. And we're going to do some war. Do you remember several weeks ago when Zeta was so sick and we did war here during worship? It's going to be like that again. We're going to enter in, but we're going to war against unbelief. We're going to war against fear. We're going to war against procrastination, passivity, apathy, complacency, and any lie that keeps us hindered. There's like there's plenty of time, you know. I'll wake up when I see everybody else waking up, or worse, when revival hits, I'm going to catch the flow and I'm going to flow with it. But we have to be ready now. God has to have vessels to pour into so that when he pours, it's not going to just flow away and be wasted because we don't know how to hold it or go with his flow. So we're going to lift our voices and we're going to renounce anything that hinders us. We're going to do the 2 Chronicles 20:20. We're going to praise, we're going to worship, and God is going to fight for us. Just like he fought for Zeta. And she radically changed after that. We're going to go forth in God's strategy. But he fights for us. Strategy can look different for every person. But many times, if you're afraid to do something, sometimes God's strategy is Just do it. So if you always sit during praise, try to stand today. If you've stood and done nothing else, try to clap. If you've only clapped, raise your hands. If you've only done that, move your feet. So just do something beyond. Dance, spin, do something beyond what you're used to doing. If you've never shouted during worship, don't hold it in. Because I know when God was teaching me that, I felt like I was a tea kettle. And if I held it in, I was holding in God. You know, so I overcame my fear and I just let it out. But see, that's a whistle too. It's letting that air out of the opening for God. So be a whistle for God. And isn't it interesting that the word whistle is in the news lately? See, because, you know, the enemy knows what God's doing. And he knows the church is about ready to break through. And so he's giving a negative connotation to that, you know, through the word whistleblower. But we are going to be whistles for God, prophetic and clear and holy and filled with love. Now, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up right now. Just you can come on up while I'm talking because we're going to go into something. This is going to be basically a prophetic demonstration because remember how I said God speaks to us in symbols and in pictures and in experiences. And sometimes that experience or that sound or that picture will stay with us longer than the understanding, but it helps us to hold the understanding. So Ben is going to do something on the drums that I know you guys are going to figure out. You're going to hear God calling, you're going to get it, and you're going to enter in. But right now, first, before they start, we're going to renounce fear, okay? So in the name of Jesus, I renounce fear. Fear means you're done with it. I'm done, okay? I renounce fear. So in the name of Jesus, I renounce, I'm done with unbelief. In the name of Jesus, I renounce, I'm done with disobedience. In the name of Jesus, I renounce, I'm done with passivity. In the name of Jesus, I renounce, I'm done with apathy. In the name of Jesus, I renounce, I'm done with complacency. In the name of Jesus, I renounce, I'm done with procrastination. In the name of Jesus, I renounce, I'm done with any hindering thing. You fill in the blank. Any hindering thing, renounce it. I'm done with it. God will set ambushes.
I just want to encourage everybody now to respond. We've made some great, wonderful declarations. now put yourself in a place of expectancy. Hear from God. He is talking with you. Even now, even in an hour, in 30 minutes, he is talking to you. Open your ears and hear him, because he's got a strategy for you. It might be a small step. It might be one person that you're approaching. It might be just a cup of coffee with somebody. It might be you fill in the blanks. I have a strategy. He's given it to me. He has one for you too. He has one for everybody. Listen to him, be obedient, and do it. Just do it.
This goes right along with what the Lord was giving me. He said, next stop. Next stop, the grocery store. Next stop, school. Next stop, that telephone call that comes. Next stop, the person you see hurting. Next stop, anything I tell you to do. Next stop, coffee with your friends. Next stop, anywhere you go is the next stop, is where my train stops and the world has an opportunity to get on board. Amen? Father, we just ask that you would make us sensitive to that, Lord. As we go throughout our days, that we would be sensitive, that we are your move. We are your kingdom, Father. And when you tell us to stop because the world needs to get on board, or even just to give a glimpse of the Lord, just to bring that kingdom near to that stop, Father God, they might not get on right away, but the train stops. The kingdom is near them. Maybe the next time by, they will get on. But we bring your kingdom. How many times did your son say, the kingdom is near unto you? Not everyone received at that moment, but the kingdom was near. Father, help us to be sensitive, to know that we bring your kingdom. We bring life. We bring healing. We bring truth. We bring what you brought when you were here. Let us be sensitive to that around us, Father God, and that we continue in our speech, in our thoughts, in our actions, in all that we do, Lord, that we represent the kingdom, and that the train stops wherever we are. Amen.